Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Stephanie Armbruster.
Yes, hello.
It's lovely to be here in front of one of your fantastic pieces of artwork. How are you doing?
Thank you. Doing quite well.
Did you have a good holiday?
I did, yes. How about you?
I did. Did you travel or stay local?
Mostly stayed local. Went back to Cleveland to visit family for a couple days. Otherwise, I've just been here working in the studio.
Busy. So you are from Cleveland then, mm-hmm. originally.
Yeah.
So what brought you over here to Pittsburgh?
I actually wound up coming here for school, and if you'd have told me then that I would still be here now, I probably would have laughed, but I came here and wound up staying.
So what was it then that kept you here?
Well, I mean, I studied at Carnegie Mellon, and over the course of being a student there, the arts community downtown, I think, really started to grow and, you know, kind of come into its own a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being a student, there's, I think, a lot of partnership between Carnegie Mellon and some of the downtown galleries. So it was a really nice way to sort of, you know, get involved with what was going on in the city. And just, you know, I don't know, it seemed like a place that I could grow along with. So at the point that I was starting my art career, things were really kind of starting to happen here. And it seemed really advantageous to stay and become a part of that. You know, I had, I think, a lot of friends who moved off and went to larger cities, you know, where there's a, you know, really sort of prominent scene, but it's easy to get lost there,
mm-hmm.
you know, whereas here it's sort of all about relationships, and you form these friendships and these partnerships that, you know, that stay, so.
Well, may I say on behalf of all of Pittsburgh that we are thrilled that you crossed over
Ohio
to Pennsylvania and that you've stayed. How do you feel Pittsburgh as a city embraces its artists?
I think it's an excellent place to be an artist. There's a lot of opportunity here. You know, I've really been pleased to find, you know, the studio spaces that are available. I love my studio. I have a studio here that I would not be able to have, I think, in any other city. Just, you know, being cost prohibitive, some of the rents. But we're also located so closely to many of the other major cities that it's easy to travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go to Chicago, to Philadelphia, New York very quickly from here. And so you're actually kind of, you know, in almost a hub with, you know, a lot of different art scenes around you.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we have a good range of galleries here, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for emerging artists. There's been a lot of interest, too, lately, you know, with even just support for emerging artists, which I think has been excellent.
This is good news for me and my sad clown paintings, so I'm very glad to hear that. But we are, as I said before, in front of one of your pieces hanging here at the lovely James Gallery in the West End, where you showed in the show Obscure Reveal, which we covered on Berg Vivant. We had a great time here at the opening and meeting you and talking to you a bit then. But your style is very distinct. So what can you tell me about how your style began, how it evolved to where it is now?
Sure. I started out, I've always sort of worked, I've liked to create work that has sort of like a larger sense of space. That's always been really important to my process, I think at any stage of sort of my, you know, creative practice as an artist. But I started out doing like street art and a lot of street influenced work. And
no, define street art.
Mm-hmm.
What... is that
wheat paste, spray paint, you know, all that kind
like
of stuff.
Graffiti,
yeah, but not so much graffiti in the sense of, you know, tagging. You know, I was never one of those people to kind of go out and just, like, write my name on stuff. But I liked working with spaces and kind of, you know, don't know, creating this sort of a different sense in a space that mm-hmm. is, you know, pretty distinctly urban. I've been really largely inspired by, I think, my experiences just being a city resident, growing up around cities. You know, there was always, growing up in Cleveland, I grew up in the suburbs, and just had this fascination with the city. You know, I always thought if I could just get into the city, there would be this amazing adventure there, you know, that I was really excited to embark on. And so far, it hasn't let me down. This city, any city, really. So street art was kind of sort of a natural pairing, I think, for me mm-hmm. in terms of just inspiration and influence and access.
Did you ever get in trouble?
Nope.
Now, is for a street artist, is that a reality? That I mean, how does one go about? Do you get permission or just kind of find a spot under a bridge and go to work?
A little bit of both. Everything that I did, I always worked with materials that were temporary. Mm. And so I made a real point of it to never be defacing, I guess, in any way that, you know, could be, I think, offensive to, you know, whoever may have owned a structure. I mostly did a lot of work with abandoned spaces, too, where no one's looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, even a couple here that were sort of prominent locations for street artists that have now been turned into luxury lofts. And, you know, all of it's been sandblasted and painted over. So, you know, to some extent, it's just kind of choosing your location. I don't think I ever wanted to do anything that would be perceived as vandalism.
Right. Now, when you would create street art like that, would you photograph it for your portfolio or just sort of let it be?
You know, I should have. And at the time, I was just too paranoid, which is completely ignorant, you know, but I thought I shouldn't have photos of it because, you know, just in case anybody ever finds out, I can't have photos, you know.
That's true. What do you think of that guy that does the chalk drawings on the streets where they're all perspective and looks like you're falling down a pit?
Oh, that seems like fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, it seems like it'd be fun to do.
Is it art?
Is it art? I don't know. To me, it is.
Oh, good. There you go.
But I guess that's always a question to be answered by the audience.
Indeed. I just wanted to hear what your answer was.
Sure.
So how then did you go from street art to what we see before us here?
A lot of it, actually, street art kind of really, a big part of that interest was I've also been, you know, sort of fascinated by typography and design, things like that at different points just in my art career. And so I, you know, decided, okay, I'm going to go to art school. Wound up, you know, going to Carnegie Mellon and sort of dove right in. And that kind of put me in a track that was a little bit more, a lot more fine art, you know, than anything I'd ever had an exposure to before. It was just a fantastic opportunity. And I don't know, it really allowed me to kind of delve more into just becoming a painter. And I actually, it was a good way to kind of broaden my own artistic experiences. I studied printmaking and metal sculpture, which is sort of part of the core curriculum for undergraduates, and, you know, really wound up making that a big part of my practice for a couple years, too.
Well, this is an interesting topic, the art education at the collegiate level. What technically was your major?
Fine art, yeah.
Because, you know, some folks say, well, to be an artist, you don't really need to go to school.
Sure.
You know, I mean, and there's the whole debate, can you teach art? But what do you feel that actually going there gave you? In other words, getting educated about it.
Sure. I think for me, the most important aspects even were actually beyond the studio. I think the studio is a thing that just about any artist can probably create for themselves. Mm-hmm. But the kind of discourse that you have with other students, with faculty, you know, just having that ability to kind of intellectually access, you know, the art world in a different way.
Intellectually access the art world. I like that phrase. In fact, if you ever like wrote a column or something like that, I think that should be the tagline: intellectually accessing the art world.
There we go.
You should copyright that.
Copyright
ASAP.
Trademark.
Because I'm gonna steal it.
You're welcome to borrow.
Thank you. I may. So the process that you use now is called encaustic, which I just learned about recently, but humor me and describe it if you will.
Sure. It took me years to discover, so it's a good thing to be able to discuss. Encaustic is basically, it's the process of painting with hot wax. And so usually the wax used for encaustic is a combination of beeswax like you would see in any store where you could buy, you know, any natural products like for candle making or anything like that, same stuff, only it's a filtered version, so it's generally white beeswax, but can be raw and natural beeswax as well.
You've got to have a heck of a time cleaning brushes.
Oh, that's the best part. You don't have to clean them.
What? So yeah. What is the tool then that you are painting with?
So basically, taking this beeswax, you add Damar resin to it, which is the hardener.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of how it winds up being stable enough to become a painting, as opposed to something that you'd, you know, really have to worry about being not as resistant or as rigid. But the process, I basically have a large crock pot that I fill with this beeswax and resin mixture. And I have, great big brushes that are goat's hair brushes. And you sort of have to, hold a heat gun in one hand and a brush in the other. Usually for the way I work, I like to keep everything very fluid as I'm working. So it's kind of a two-hand process. And you have to start by laying your panel flat.
Mm-hmm.
And it always has to be done on panel just because, the wax needs a rigid substrate.
Yeah, rather than stable. If you hung it on the wall because the wax would run.
Mm-hmm. Which can be an effect as well. So some mm-hmm. artists, bring that into their practice. But for me, I kind of, load up a brush with this molten wax and then apply it along the panel and chase it with a heat gun or a torch.
Wow.
As
it's
I'm working.
It's dramatic.
It's very dramatic.
You're chasing with guns. I mean, this is quite a process. So
it is a dramatic process. It's in some ways very delicate and very violent all at the same time.
That's another great phrase. So how much, we would classify this as abstract.
Mm-hmm.
So how much planning goes into that for you? Because a lot of times I think abstract work, I mean, my knowledge of it anyway, is sort of sometimes the chips just fall where they may, and you can kind of adjust that. But do you go into this with knowing where the colors and the shapes are going to go, or is it kind of a little adventure to kind of see what happens with that wax?
I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
I really, with any series, I tend to work in a series format, and so each one will have sort of its own inspiration or influence, a message that I'm trying to get across. And so I kind of bring that with me as I approach a new piece. And I'm always fairly certain about what my technical process is going to be, so what I want my materials to be, what I want the strokes to look like, the general feel of the piece. And I'll set up my palette initially. And then from there, I just kind of, start to go with it and let the piece take me where it will.
And you've been very successful. As is evidenced by a lot of the pieces here, you've gotten a lot of attention in Pittsburgh, and your presence at the Obscure Reveal exhibition at James Gallery was very well noted. So how does one get there? What would your advice be to an artist who was just starting out and had a great body of work, but now what?
Yeah, I would say perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I graduated from college in 2006, so I haven't been doing this for decades, but I've been doing it for long enough, and it's really just been really a process of just knowing what you want out of your own artwork and then finding opportunities as they come. And it really is something that's all about relationships. I think for me, part of my success has been due to the kind of network that I've been able to build in Pittsburgh. And so for anyone just starting out, I would say just keep making your work against all odds, and get to know people, see how you can help them, how they can help you, and just work your way up.
Yeah. Now, do you think that you'll stick with encaustic, or are you maybe going to develop out of that, or are you there to stay?
I think I'm there to stay.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to probably work in different formats. I kind of tend to do everything from large-scale painting to small-scale painting to, works on paper and monoprints. And so there's kind of a lot of room for exploration there. But I discovered this material a few years ago, and I've just been in love with it since. I was trying to seek it out. I didn't know what it was. I first encountered it in a gallery in Atlanta, but it was just marked as mixed medium. So I was trying to figure out, what is this crazy surface? Like, I need this. I need to work with this.
So did you consult anyone as far as how to do it, or you just kind of found the wax and trial and error?
I just I was looking around, and I wound up going to Arts and Craftsman art store here in Squirrel Hill, where I buy most of my supplies, and they had a demo. And a woman, Elise Regolo, who's another local encaustic artist, was actually the one who was teaching the workshop that day. And I saw her materials and her work and knew that that was the surface that I wanted to work with. So she and I have become friends, and it's, we kind of trade back and forth, and it's a good exchange.
So there is value to learning new things.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, that's great. So another, thumbs up for education in the arts. Mm-hmm. What would you consider your first big break?
My first big break? I would say that was probably Gestures 13 at the Mattress Factory Museum. That was the first real museum-involved show that I'd gotten to be a part of. And it's also probably still the largest piece I've ever made. It was a street art mural that went all the way up their staircase in the Monterey Street Gallery. So it actually, you know, went up three stories and was designed so that people could kind of move, you know, you had to move through.
Now, that was not done in wax, though.
No, that was not.
How could that be? Could you do a mural in encaustic?
You probably could. It would be really difficult, but I could see it being done.
Yeah. It would melt in the summertime, though, if it were outdoors.
Maybe not if it were outdoors. If it were indoors in a space with no ventilation, then maybe on a hot day. It's about the only danger for these paintings is extreme heat. So.
Yeah, yeah. So where are some other places locally that you've shown your pieces?
Sure. 709 Penn Gallery downtown. I've worked with the PCA, Pittsburgh Center for the Arts. Recently was part of an Associated Artists show at the Carnegie. All over the place.
You're
really
busy.
Yeah, definitely. I do keep busy.
So when you're not, you know, painting with wax, what do you like to get out and do in the city?
Sure. I'm really into music, so I try to go out to a lot of shows and things like that.
Musicals, like local musicians.
Mostly local musicians, DJs. I have a couple of friends that's sort of what they do, so I'll go out and support their events. Just like to kind of get an idea of the music scene here. But travel as well. I love to travel. So I'll tend to try to, you know, get out and see things in other cities. But, you know, just a general kind of what would I do on a weekend here. I love cocktails, so I'll go out in search of cocktails.
You're speaking my language. What's your drink of choice?
Oh my, drink of choice. These days, pretty much anything involving chartreuse, absinthe, or bourbon.
Wow.
Those would be my favorites.
Hardcore.
If I had to take a pick.
If you had to take a pick, yeah, one will do. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Favorite bars?
That's a little bit of a toss-up. Hard to say.
Whatever's open.
Certainly not that broad, but Kelly's is probably my bar away from home.
Oh, yeah, I like Kelly's. I have been there. It's always packed. Yeah. It's popular.
It's nearby where I live, and so but it's been sort of a staple for me. It's close to my studio, so I tend to, you know, it's nice. I can sort of stop and get a sandwich or something after, you know, mm-hmm. after working. But, you know, for cocktails, there's a couple of really good ones. I was just at Tender, and they had really good cocktails.
Love Tender.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite excellent. Of course, I'm drawing a blank now that I have to think about it.
All right, it'll come to you. Just shout it out. Martini! Yeah. But where do you, do you pull inspiration from other places and other forms of art that you enjoy? I mean, where do you get your ideas?
Sure. That, for me, is probably one of the most important parts of my art process. My work is all sort of inspired by different places that I've moved through or things that happened at specific locations that were sort of important to me largely, or that are part of a story that I want to tell, something I want to examine further. But I kind of, you know, a lot of it's really sort of born of wanting to explore sort of vacant spaces or abandoned spaces. Not so much because of this whole, you know, decay is beautiful concept, but more, for me, I'm more interested in this idea of a layered history and how a structure or a space isn't really so much, you know, it's what you're seeing now, but it's everything that's happened prior. It's everyone who's moved through it. And so for me, when I'm in a building, you know, I'm seeing peeling paint, whatever, you know, but even, not even vacant buildings, you know, it's really anything with enough history to have a story. I like kind of trying to reconstruct in my mind, you know, what that would have been, who would have been there.
Well, let's take this piece, for example.
Sure.
Here, what story is this one telling?
This series was actually created as a kind of way to describe memory through color. So almost memory through synesthesia. And so these pieces were they were meant to be very abstract, and they're a little bit less specific. But this piece was actually sort of based around ideas of water, ideas of shores.
I see it.
And skies.
It looks very natural, almost like some of these patterns occurred naturally, just, you know, over time or weather. It's really quite beautiful.
Thank you.
What is the title?
This one is Hungry Ghost 12.
Hungry Ghost 12.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yep.
Yeah, and you wouldn't guess even that it was wax unless you looked really closely.
This is the process for creating this is really, this series was really kind of fun. So all of these like layers, these ridges that you see,
mm-hmm.
That's me sort of taking a brush, loading it up with paint, and then dragging it forward. And then I'll scrape back in with a razor blade to create these sort of peaks and valleys, and just keep working in layers and layers of translucent color. So in some areas you're seeing probably down to the first two, but others are about 10 layers deep.
Wow.
That's the really sort of beautiful thing about encaustic that never really replicates well in photo documentation,
mm-hmm.
is it because it actually has physical depth.
Yeah, there is a texture to it, not in the usual sense, but depth I think would probably be a better word for it.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful example.
Thank you.
So is there anything that you feel that patrons might not know about you as an artist that you'd like them to know?
As an artist, I'd like them to know. I think mostly that I work in a variety of different formats. So, you know, this piece is part of one series and it has a certain aesthetic, but other works that I do, you know, may be quite different.
You're dynamic.
Thank you.
It's a very good quality.
I think the thing, you know, there's some consistencies. My color palette has been very consistent for years, which is surprising. I recently, you know, was updating a bunch of images and noticed, you know, just looking at it all laid out, that's sort of one of the things that's consistent, you know, and sort of I have a sense of mark making that carries through, I think, in pretty much everything I work on. But, you know, there's the new series that I'm starting right now is all based on metals.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's completely abstract, but, you know, we'll be in a format that's quite different from this. So, I don't know.
So you're an artist to watch. We never know really what's going to
It'll
come
always
next.
Always be a little different. And I do walls as well. So I actually still enjoy doing large work on walls. I'll, you know, take that opportunity and treat it almost as an installation whenever that would come along. I recently did one a couple years ago that was a temporary installation in a space that, you know, it was designed that if you were to walk into it, you would almost think there was nothing in the room. And as you moved forward, you would see different parts of it move along the walls.
So what do the walls look like at your place?
Oh, you know, it's an apartment, so they're apartment
white. Oh, they're not a lot of freedom. I like to picture every wall like looks like this. You know, something to aspire to, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someday. Someday.
Good, great. Well, excellent. It was great chatting with you. Aside from, you know, constantly developing works coming from you, anything down the road that's that we should be watching for in particular from the studio of Stephanie Armbruster?
Yes. I'm working on a whole new series of paintings right now. So I have probably 22 pieces in progress in my studio right now.
Generally, how long does, say, a piece about this size take you to do?
A piece this size, it really depends on the process. Some take longer than others. But I would say, you know, 1 to 2 months.
Wow.
It's probably standard for something about this size.
And you've got 22 that
22.
You're working on now?
Yeah. And
well, how's that coming along?
Great.
Yeah?
They're smaller, so they're, you know, a little bit more immediate. They're sort of, you know, some of these other really large pieces will take a lot longer. But yeah, they're fun.
So we will watch for them. You got Thank a website?
You. I do. It is just my name, StephanieArmbruster.com.
That's easy to remember. Yeah. So we'll encourage everybody to check it out and be watching for new works from you and wherever you might be showing around town and beyond.
Thank you.
Excellent. Good chatting with you.
Thanks. You too.
Bravo. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.